Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. It's probably fair to say that Elizabeth Paradiso is living her dream, and most of ours for that matter. She and her husband, Owen, are the owners and creative team behind Sweet Elizabeth's Cakes and Bake Shop, a fixture in the Manayunk neighborhood of Philadelphia since 2011. Their slogan, Cake, Art, Love, translates into elegant, unique, and customized desserts that make a statement. Some of those statements include chocolate bacon, chocolate ganache, chocolate buttercream, chocolate-covered bacon. Three best friends, vanilla bean chocolate chip cake, salted caramel buttercream, chocolate drizzle. Carnival cake, roasted banana cake, Nutella buttercream, toasted hazelnuts. Sweet Elizabeth's desserts aren't made with shortening, chemical stabilizers, or high fructose corn syrup. And according to Elizabeth, only the fanciest schmanciest European butter is used in her recipes. Elizabeth's grandmother, who she calls a fabulous baker, was one of her mentors and helped get her first job at a traditional French bakery just outside Boston. It was there she learned the basics of classical French pastry under the tutelage of Jean-Jacques Gabanel. Elizabeth went to the Culinary Institute of America, got an associate's degree in baking and pastry arts. Then it was on to Johnson & Wales, where she earned a bachelor's in hospitality management. It was there Elizabeth and Owen met and subsequently moved to Philly, where she worked as a cake decorator at a well-established bakery before eventually opening up her own business. Elizabeth has been featured on the Cooking Channel and in local publications, and we welcome you, Elizabeth, and I thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandy.
So I read that you were a foodie at a young age. Explain to me what that means.
Well, I certainly didn't grow up eating French fries and chicken fingers every night. My mother was a fabulous cook. She would go to our local markets and pick up local ingredients, and we would just have fabulous dinners pretty much every night of the week. And she certainly didn't refrain from taking us to nice restaurants. I learned proper etiquette pretty early on so that we could adventure out and try different cuisines at a young age.
So there was nothing basically that you didn't like?
No, definitely not. And there still isn't.
Now, about your grandmother, was she a professional baker?
Not at all, actually. She raised four children and just learned the basics of baking from an early age from her grandmother. She grew up in the post-depression era when nothing was wasted. So she learned how to use everything in her kitchen, including scraps from pie crusts and turning them into new desserts, which eventually became one of her specialties called pie rugs.
Pie rugs, that's a great name. So you used to hang out in the kitchen with both your mom and your grandmother?
Yes. My mother was more of a cook, whereas my grandmother was more of a baker. But they both taught me a lot of the essentials in delicious cooking and baking. As soon as I was able to reach the countertop, my grandmother would have me over for an afternoon where we would bake sugar cookies and decorate them and apple pies. Again, of course, using the leftover pie scraps to make pie rugs that we got to nibble on while the pie baked, you know, for hours on end. So
as you got older and you got into high school, whatever, were your summer jobs food connected?
They were, actually. As soon as I was able to start working, my grandmother knew that I had already had a passion for baking. So she knew it was time to get me into a kitchen. So she marched me right into our local French patisserie right in my downtown and told the owner and pastry chef there that I needed a job, and he welcomed me right in.
So what'd you do there?
At first, I helped customers, boxed up pastries, and each and every day I would beg the owner, please bring me into the kitchen. Please start teaching me how to bake. Finally, one day he said, all right, great. I'll see you tomorrow at 4:30 in the morning. My poor father had to wake up early, get me out of bed, and he got me there. And it was the start of a love affair.
And you never looked back. So he taught you how to bake.
He did. He absolutely did. I was rolling croissants with him in the back room that was air conditioned and designed specifically for the croissants, so I would help him with that every day. I would scoop muffins. I would roll out pastry dough and fill tart shells. So he definitely helped me with the foundation of baking skills.
Did you work with him throughout your high school career, or was it just one summer?
I actually worked with him until I left for college. The chef, Jean-Jacques, would even go so far as to pick me up from school on our half days and bring me back into the bake shop so that I could help during the busy seasons and holiday seasons.
Well, that says a lot for what he thought of your skills. That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. I was very grateful that he was willing to take the time to teach me.
So then it was on to the Culinary Institute of America. What was it like to attend that prestigious school?
It was much easier than I felt like it was when I was there. It was very daunting when I was there to be among the highest echelon of chefs in the world. But it was definitely the greatest learning experience I've ever had. It was a lot of work. It certainly wasn't your typical college atmosphere. There were no parties. There were no frats. On Friday nights, we practice our piping skills with buttercream, how to write elegantly with melted chocolate. And it was quite an experience for an 18-year-old.
But an 18-year-old who knew what she wanted to do.
Absolutely. I was pretty determined. Getting into the school to begin with was such a huge accomplishment for me that I knew I had to run with it. I knew I had such a great opportunity and that I had to take full advantage of it. So it was certainly difficult while I was there, but I'm so grateful for that opportunity and all that it gave back to me.
So despite some rough periods there, you were going to stick it out. You were going to stay because you knew you were sort of destined to be there.
There was no other option. Quitting has never been and probably, hopefully, will never be an option for me.
And then what made you go on to Johnson & Wales?
Well, I knew I wanted to further my education a little bit more. I knew that the associate's degree in just baking and pastry could limit the opportunities ahead of me. So I wasn't ready to go out into the real world yet and just work for a living. I knew that I needed more education in the business end of the hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what brought me to Johnson & Wales University.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Elizabeth Paradiso, who is the owner and creative brains, along with her husband, of Sweet Elizabeth Cakes and Bake Shop in Philadelphia. So you get out of Johnson & Wales and you now have a degree. What next?
From there, I had actually got another great opportunity working for a restaurant and fabulous catering company in Providence, Rhode Island, where I attended Johnson & Wales. And my boyfriend at the time and I lived there for another year after graduating, just kind of loving the city and enjoying where we lived and our friends. So I became the executive pastry chef for a restaurant and catering company called The Gatehouse.
And?
Looking back, it was probably more intense because of the lack of experience I had had than the intensity of owning my own business. I put in quite a few hours there and learned my way through the kitchen and through the ins and outs of working with a catering company and a restaurant simultaneously.
At this time, what was your future husband doing? What was Owen doing?
He was delivering pizzas.
Were you able to sort of work in tandem with each other?
At the time, Owen hadn't really found a passion in food or even the hospitality industry. We were still at such an immature age where I had set my path. I had been pretty focused. I knew what I had wanted to do from a very young age. And it took Owen a little longer to find his path and find his strengths in the professional world.
And did that happen when you decided to start your own business?
Actually, his path kind of evolved once we moved here to Philadelphia, where he got his first job in a restaurant, aside from delivering pizzas, where he was hands-on in a kitchen and in a management position with the franchise Five Guys, actually.
Oh, sure. So what brought you to Philadelphia?
That's also a great question. I had friends from the Culinary Institute of America who had grown up in the Philadelphia area, and they were starting a bread company here. So I had a reason to move here strictly so that I could work with friends in the industry. And Owen's family had moved to the Philadelphia area a few years prior. So we both had connections to Philadelphia and had kind of outgrown Providence, which mm-hmm. is a fairly smaller city, especially compared to Philadelphia.
Of course, of course. And what year was that you moved to Philly?
That was 2006.
So you're there doing various jobs, because it wasn't until 5 years later that you opened your own bake shop. So take us on that journey. What happened during the course of those 5 years that eventually led you to open your own business?
When we had first moved to Philadelphia, one of the first jobs that I interviewed for was for a well-established bakery here in the city. And I got the job on the spot, started working there, and, you know, it furthered my love and my passion for baking. It gave me lots of experience in the bakery industry, which I had obviously started in, but in between starting in a bakery in my hometown and moving to Philadelphia, I had worked in bakeries, restaurants, catering companies, small gourmet markets. So I had had some experience in the bakery field, but not as much as I gained once I had moved here to Philadelphia.
So you never really worked in your friend's bread business?
That was actually a short-lived relationship, thankfully.
Okay.
Bread was never really my thing. I do really appreciate the time and effort that goes into bread, but it's such a slow moving process, and I have far too much energy and go, go, go kind of spirit that it just wasn't a perfect match for me.
So what was the catalyst? What was set off in your head and your husband's head to say, it's time for us to create our own business?
Well, I had been kind of burnt out from working at this particular bakery. I knew that there wasn't much more that I could do there. There wasn't much more that I could change or enhance or help this company grow. And vice versa, there wasn't much more there that would allow me to grow as a pastry chef.
And let me just interrupt and ask you, did they basically give you carte blanche that you were free to do whatever you wanted as the pastry chef?
Essentially, yes, with very little restrictions, but it was a very traditional type of bakery. And I was young and I had fresh ideas. So there was only so much that they were willing to do, but I did appreciate the freedoms that I had there, which is why I did stay there for 5 years.
So there's, no pun intended, a seed is planted in your head.
Actually, not quite. You know, because I had only ever worked with food in hospitality, during the last few months of working at that bakery, I squirreled away as many pennies as I could so that I could buy myself a little time to possibly explore some other options. I felt a little burnt out. I was exhausted. I didn't have the creative fire burning in me anymore. I knew that I just needed to take a break and step away. I was walking my dog on Main Street in Manayunk, which is where Sweet Elizabeth is now located, and I saw a for rent sign on a beautiful building on this quintessential Main Street America neighborhood, and that's where the light bulb went off. That's where I thought, well, if I could do it my own way and I could do it how I wanted to and when I wanted to, then maybe that fire would come back, and it certainly has in full force.
It's one thing to see a for rent sign. It's another to get the money and the wherewithal to open your own business. Talk about that. How'd you do it?
Not easily.
Okay.
But I have been told that nothing that's easy is worth doing. And that was kind of my motto through the whole thing. I am grateful that I had family that believed in us, that knew that we had the tenacity and the dedication and the passion to make this thought. I wouldn't even call it a dream. I'd never really dreamed of owning a business or a bakery. I never dreamt that big, which looking back is could have been a sad destiny for me. But later, I guess later in life, that dream came to fruition. It's kind of funny. I feel kind of funny saying that I'd never dreamt of owning a business, but I really think that I just never dreamt that big. And wow, now I am, and I'm here.
And it's working. So did your husband say that you were going to kind of be in this together?
Exactly. I knew that I didn't have the business experience to do it, but I did have the baking skills. I did have the creative side, the decorating. And I did have the the interpersonal skills that you need to work with clients and vendors and customers. But Owen definitely had the experience in the business end with food costing and paying the bills and making sure the electricity comes on and fixing equipment. So I did definitely need him in starting the business. Since we've opened, he has taken a little more of a backseat. He still makes sure that the ovens get turned on through paying the gas bills and payroll and all of the things that really wouldn't interest me on a day-to-day basis. So,
from the time you walked your dog and saw the for rent sign till the time that you put out your business sign, how long was that?
It took us about 5 months.
Oh, that's not so bad.
It wasn't. It definitely was a 40-plus hour a week job getting us started from a business plan to raising the money to conceptualizing our brand and who we wanted to be and what we wanted to be. And construction.
So that building was not necessarily a bakery beforehand or a restaurant. It was just an empty building that had a for rent sign. Basically had to be gutted.
It did. It had to be gutted. We needed to do full construction from ovens and refrigeration and office space and the retail space.
Did you have difficulty raising money?
Yes. Just like any other small business, money was always an issue and always will be as a small business. But that's what we work for, is gaining that comfortability and those repeat clients. So it was a challenge, but we did it, you know, with determination and a shoestring budget, we were able to do it.
So talk about what life is like for you on a day-to-day basis now running this business and coming up with all the different types of cakes and sweets that you do.
Well, I would say on a day-to-day basis at the moment, I spend a little less time in the kitchen each day and a little more time in the office doing a little more research on product development, trends in the industry, new designs that I'd like to create and put on display in our shop for our clients to see. I have taken over some of the business end of what we do at Sweet Elizabeth's, but I'd say 2 to 3 days out of the week, I am able to be in the kitchen, either testing recipes, guiding and teaching my employees and my staff, as well as I still decorate every single cake that goes out of our shop. So I do split my time between office work and the creative side. When we first opened the shop, I was the single employee of Sweet Elizabeth's Cakes and Bake Shop. I ran the shop. I baked everything from scratch every morning. I answered the phone, I answered emails, I took orders, I did our inventory and placed our orders, and everything from A to Z, it was all on me. Over time, as we grew, I've been able to hire a full-time baker who bakes up all of our cakes and all of our cupcakes. I also have somebody that preps all of my cakes for me, so she ices all of our cakes, she ices the cupcakes, she makes all of our buttercreams. So she has taken a little bit more off of my plate, as well as hiring a bakery manager who works full-time with our clients and in the shop helping our walk-in customers. So I'm able to be a little more flexible and spend more time growing the business.
So I gather that you also take orders, as in bake wedding cakes?
Yes.
Is that a big part of your business?
It's one of my favorite parts of the business and a fabulous part of the business. So I would say our wedding cakes account for about 30% of our business, and cakes in general, meaning birthday cakes, wedding showers, baby showers, any kind of cakes equate to about another 30% of our business.
So people in the neighborhood and maybe beyond are very well aware of Sweet Elizabeth's.
Absolutely. Again, starting the business on a shoestring budget made us rely so heavily on word of mouth, which has been working great for us.
Talk to me about what you offer in your store. Chocolate bacon, carnival cake, three best friends. God knows I love bacon, but I'm not so sure that I would feel good about eating chocolate-covered bacon.
Well, then you haven't tried it, Sandy.
Okay, there you go. Good answer.
You know, we like to have an array of desserts, not just cakes, but desserts that appeal to everyone. So obviously we have some more eclectic flavors like the chocolate bacon, like passion fruit caramel or a stout cake. But then we have more classic flavors like our vanilla cakes or our funfettis or even our chocolate chip with salted caramel. I would say that that's kind of a little more on the standard or classic side. So we do try and have a full array of flavors to excite anybody who appreciates desserts.
Do you sell cookies also?
We do. We have, again, from the classic chocolate chunk to ginger snaps into the more creative ones like our kitchen sink cookies, which literally have everything but the kitchen sink in them.
Describe the ingredients for the kitchen sink cookie.
Potato chips, pretzels, coconut, peanut butter chips, toffee, mini marshmallows. What else is in there? Pretty much anything that we have laying around that we think would be delicious in a cookie, we put it in. So it does change each batch that we do, but they're really fabulous. People love them. They love that they're all recognizable ingredients, but many people haven't had them all together in one little cookie. So
I can't imagine what the calorie count is for a kitchen sink cookie.
We don't really talk about calories much at Sweet Elizabeth's. We talk about the smiles that you get from our desserts, not the calories.
I understand that.
They're special treats, you know? We say they're for special occasions. That's what they're for.
Now, people can eat their desserts in Sweet Elizabeth's, that it's not just simply takeout?
Right. Yeah, we have tables. We also offer locally roasted coffee. We have fine teas. We also make in-house beverages, so you're welcome to hang out. In the wintertime, we have board games that we have, and we invite people to come join us on snow days, and we have Mexican hot chocolate with homemade marshmallows, so you can come and spend the day with us if you'd like.
I'm sure people must.
They do. The games get used quite a bit because sometimes you just, you know, winters in Philadelphia, you get so sick of being inside sometimes, you just have to throw on some snow boots and venture out. So living in the neighborhood is nice. I do the same and throw on my snow boots, walk down the hill and open up the shop and hang out with our customers.
Did you ever think that this would be such a success?
It's surreal. It's still surreal. Sometimes I do have to step back and appreciate how much my hard work has paid off. We had just hit our 4-year mark in June, and I really made myself take the time to reflect on all we've done with the little amount that we started with. And I really am so grateful that people appreciate what we do and how we do it.
I would imagine that you've gotten your share of publicity.
We have. When we were about 6 months old, Cooking Channel came to the shop and featured us on one of their shows called Unique Eats. It was fabulous for business.
Just 6 months after you open? That's nuts.
Not as nuts as getting pregnant 3 months after opening, but
oh my goodness.
But yes, it was. It was the single greatest thing that has happened to Sweet Elizabeth's was getting on the Cooking Channel.
And any more publicity coming your way?
Yes, actually. We'll be having the Food Network coming to the shop soon to feature us in one of their shows as well.
Focused on what, small business or on pastry or what?
I believe the show is called America's Best Bakeries and Sweet Delicacies.
And they approached you. You didn't approach them.
We, again, our shoestring budget doesn't allow for a PR firm. So we're very lucky that they found us and reached out to us, and we grabbed on, and we're really excited.
That's wonderful. So what do you see in the future for Sweet Elizabeth's?
I think just reaching the masses, reaching more people, having more walk-in business so people can see the array of desserts that we put out each and every day. We'd also like to start getting into shipping possibly, but probably our less perishable items like our cookies and our brownies and our salted caramels. We probably won't get into shipping our cupcakes, as we don't freeze anything that we make at Sweet Elizabeth's. Everything really is custom baked for the orders. And when you ship cupcakes, the only way to really do it is through freezing. So we will get into shipping our less perishable items.
What happens at the end of the day when you haven't sold all your wares?
We trade them with the bars and restaurants, or bring them to the police station and the fire station in our neighborhoods.
Oh, I didn't even think about that in terms of trading. So that's really an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great way to network. And there are a lot of restaurants in Manayunk and on Main Street. And each employee at those restaurants is a potential client. So why not reach out to them through our day-olds, although I hate calling them day-olds because we never have anything around long enough for it to be old.
I'm just curious, how much do you produce in a day? I'm very curious, what kind of volume?
Sometimes I can't wrap my head around it either. I would say that our flow fluctuates quite a bit. Summertime is much slower on the weekends because people are heading down to the shore and going on vacation. Holiday times and fall is our single busiest times. So it's really hard to pinpoint an exact number. Some weekends we'll have 5 wedding cakes. Other weekends we'll have no wedding cakes, but 10 birthday cakes, shower cakes. And sometimes we'll have more cakes than we can fit in our refrigerator, so we're playing Tetris all day long.
I'm just looking for kind of an average that you make to sell.
We could do anywhere from 10 dozen cupcakes to maybe 20 dozen cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's a real kind of shot in the dark number there. It's very tricky. It's a very fine line between making too much and not making enough and selling out just a little too early, which has happened.
What time do people have to get there to start baking?
Because we don't do breakfast pastries, we actually don't get in until about 7 in the morning. The shop opens up at noon, and we're open till 8 or 9 p.m. Manayunk is definitely a later crowd kind of neighborhood, so we stay open for the after-dinner crowd rather than the early morning crowd.
Well, it's a long day, and you've got a lot on your plate. Again, no pun intended, but it was really a pleasure to meet you, Elizabeth. And you know what's really funny? Your last name, Paradiso, a little play on paradise there. It sounds to me as if you kind of have made your own paradise.
Well, thanks, Sandy. I certainly think so. I feel very grateful that, again, people enjoy Sweet Elizabeth's as much as I do.
Well, that's excellent. And it was really my pleasure to meet you. And I wish you continued success. And I'm really glad you have a sweet tooth.
Thank you so much, Sandy. The pleasure was all mine.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.